I introduce the podcast and then I outroduce the podcast. Is that a word? Outroduce?
It is now.
Hey everyone, it's Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm here with Scott and Peter, and our guest today is Jay Bedella. Did I say your last name right?
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Jay, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Partake, which is a alcohol-free beer.
Oh.
It tastes a lot like the best IPA I've ever had in my life.
So, really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the only non-alcohol beer that I've ever had in my entire life that actually tastes like beer. It's stunning.
I remember sitting beside you when you were like, yeah, starting today, I'm not drinking for a year. And, you know, to be honest, at the time, I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, I've heard this from other people before, you know, I'll see you next week and we'll like do shots to celebrate your 1 week.
Yeah.
But you did it. Like, congrats. That's amazing. Like 10 months in, you beat
this.
That's
awesome.
Thing,
that's really good.
Yeah. Thank
and to you. Put that in context, when Peter's talking about other people who've tried this, he's talking about him and Derek, who got 17 days into dry January before he convinced them to have a drink on the podcast. Was there anything that precipitated that decision, or you're just like, yeah, you know, this, I just want to change it up.
Yeah. Well, it's wild because both of my parents, alcoholics, my sister, alcoholic, alcoholism in my family. I never really was an alcoholic. I didn't think. So every year I'd sort of quit for a month just to make sure. And I've never really been motivated to stop drinking because I love drinking. Like I fucking love drinking. But one of my buddies said to me, Jay, the most productive year of my life was the year I stopped drinking for a year. And that, for whatever reason, like I'm a startup guy, I'm an entrepreneur. You're telling me that I could get even more out of my days and minutes if I quit drinking for a year. So I'm like, you got me. I'm going to try. It's like an experiment. So yeah, that was the hook, man.
Wow.
I've been hooked ever since. It was sketchy at first, let me tell you, because the habit is deep and there's so much joy that comes out of it. Having a nice drink, whether it's on your own or with your friends. But yeah, man.
Wow, that's great.
Total game changer. Like it is
awesome.
My secret
that's
weapon
awesome.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that incredible, right? Because it's like, you know, drinking such a luxury, and we do tend to try it. But that's amazing. And have you noticed a big change over the last year?
Oh yeah, like the first month or 2 months, all I could do to hold on to this was think, just don't drink, just don't drink. Pretty much every moment, I was thinking, just don't have a drink. Like, but then it turned into, oh, I'm sleeping really well. What? I'm dreaming again. What? I have all this extra energy. It was like, it's freaky.
I remember you and I had a conversation where you had talked about experimenting microdosing with psilocybin. That's very in vogue right now in Silicon Valley. And it's sort of this startup thing. And a lot of people sort of equate it to like, yeah, no, it's like, this is not like getting high. It's like almost like having a really strong cup of coffee without the jitters, right? It allows you to focus a little bit or maybe be a little more creative. Had you ever actually experimented with that, and what were your experiences with it?
Yeah, I have. Microdosing psilocybin, aka mushrooms, it's another secret weapon, right? Like it actually makes a massive difference in my life, productivity wise and happiness wise. And I've heard that increasingly from the research out there dealing with depression, PTSD, that psilocybin combined with talk therapy or cognitive-based therapy really improves the lives of humans. And I would say wholeheartedly, if you've not done microdosing of psilocybin, you should try, do an experiment and see what impact it has on your life, because it's profound.
You've got a lot on your plate. You've started Goodpin. You've got a few other endeavors going on right now. Do you want to talk a bit about what you've all got going on? Why don't we get like a little introduction of Jay?
I'm Jay Bedella, founder of a company called Goodpin. That's essentially an online platform for companies to put their charity dollars in the hands of their customers to choose where it goes in small amounts. And then they publish to social, becoming the marketing for those brands. So that's my main hustle and has been for about 8 years. I've also been able to co-found another company with someone named Peter Bishop, who I see on this podcast, a company called EveryWork. And EveryWork is essentially like ClassPass for co-work spaces, the ability to have one platform where you can see all the co-work spaces around you and book a day at a time at a cheaper rate than you'd normally be able to get by going directly to them.
I haven't brought that up yet, but it's not the best time for co-working right now, but I feel like, and all signs are pointing to, when this is over, I think the need to get out of your house and be amongst people again and other humans is going to be good. So I feel like it's going to be good timing for
that. The recognition by a lot, and there will be good parts to this and maybe not so good parts to this, but the recognition by a lot of companies that the reduction in their bottom line that they could realize by letting go of a permanent office space because they don't need people in there 40 hours a week. People are going to crave the flexibility to be able to get together when they need to collaborate and work from home when they need to focus and concentrate. I think that really is our new reality. So for however long this is where, yeah, co-working spaces, you're not really going to be able to make work. Eventually, when this all comes to a head, I think you're going to see a vastly different landscape regarding permanent office spaces and the way people choose to work together.
Exactly. Yeah, very well said. We are right now proving that we don't have to go into the office to get shit done. So why are we as companies spending so much money on that big chunk of real estate?
What made me think like, oh, we got to have Jay on this podcast is that you've kind of went from one place to another where you're just like, you know what? I just want to make change in this world happen. Can you kind of talk about, you know, where you came from and then why you decided that becoming an entrepreneur like yourself was the right way to go?
I guess when I look back to entrepreneurship in general, I come by it pretty honestly. My dad was an entrepreneur, and when you're around that energy and that mentality, you can't help but absorb it as being normal. So as much of that has been passed on through my DNA, as well as I've seen it happen in front of my eyes. So modeling that out in my life, right? But then, other than that, as I sort of started into the world and seeing that example, I realized, you know, most of us are caught in a machine. And the cliche is, you know, if you're not building your own dream, you're building someone else's dream. But there's a lot of truth in that. When I found myself in corporate jobs, which I did, went to business school, did 20 years of corporate IT project management consulting. And then along the way, I did a lot of my own startups and different gigs. But when I was in those corporate gigs, I found myself really sad and empty and unmotivated because I only played one small part in this bigger picture of which I had no control. So that entrepreneurial drive was within me from the beginning. And I saw it play out every time I did entrepreneurial things and didn't do entrepreneurial things. It's very evident in my being that I was meant to do one and not the other. And you know, everyone is different. Everyone gets off on different things. Everyone is excited about different things, is built different ways. I so happened to get excited when I could build my own things. That's the thing that got me motivated, was actually to create on my own. And part of me is very much a creative human being. I have a very strong desire to create, and it just so happens that the thing that I create through is businesses, bringing and it's not as simple as creating businesses. That's not the thing that gets me excited. Some people really like creating businesses. I'm not that jazzed about creating businesses. I'm more excited about creating an idea in the world that can make life better, right? bringing an idea into this sphere that can change things for the better, make life better for humans in some way. That's my jam. And it so happens that I had a technology background. So for me, it was human beings and technology. How can I mix those two things up to make something cool happen in the world?
So Goodpin is a cause marketing company. You use a bit of like a SaaS platform, SaaS. Can you explain what that means?
So SaaS is software as a service, much like Gmail. Doesn't sit on your computer. It's in the cloud somewhere. Just like a website is in the cloud somewhere. There's no software running on your computer. That's software as a service. You can access it from anywhere on the internet. When it boils down to it, I see a problem in the world and then I want to fix it, right? When I see something that's broken and I can see a whole bunch of different parties involved, and by inserting one idea, it actually makes it better for all of the players. That's what I really get jazzed about. And in particular, I heard that I think we're up to over close to $1 trillion this next year is going to be spent on marketing and advertising globally. So that's a big bucket of money. And then I hear how unhappy a lot of marketers are in their livelihoods, not really like satisfied and meaning. And then I see purpose coming out to the forefront of everything nowadays, and more marketing turning into purpose-based marketing. It just sort of struck me that if we could sort of access that $1 trillion that's going to get spent on marketing and repurpose some of it towards social impact and doing good, that we might have something, right? There might be an idea there. So that's essentially the germ of the idea that came to be Goodpin, which is, hey company, you're going to spend $1 million on marketing this year. Why not take $200,000 of that, break it up into $20 bills and give it to your customers. Let them choose what charity to give it to. And that's where we started. Built the platform to do that, and we're on our way.
You know, I've always loved that idea of marketing by giving away money. It's just such a great way to kind of tackle two things at once. Not only are you giving away your charitable dollars, which a lot of big companies do anyways, but you're actually creating marketing doing that. And that's the difference, is that whole big check. I love that there's a photo you have somewhere, Jay, where it's just like everyone's so proud and they're holding up this gigantic check for their big press conference. And then that's it. Like, it's gone. You're giving away $100,000 and it's over in a flash. You've got your media press and you maybe get a couple blog posts out of it or whatever, a little spot on the TV, and then you're done. $100,000 is out the window. And it's great. You're giving to charity, so there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, imagine if you could like atomize that across the social sphere and allow people to choose whatever charity that's near and dear to them. And at $5 a piece or $10 a piece or whatever, you're just democratizing this whole idea of giving away money. And imagine the spread that you get. Like, that's the new way of giving. I completely believe that's how you do it nowadays, is you every single tweet, every single share, everything is coming back to you in spades as far as your PR and presence and brand. It's just a massive payoff. So I love how it's going. I think this is absolutely the future of giving.
Does anybody know what actually happens to those giant prop checks? I picture like the storage closet.
In
every office, and it just sits in there with the Christmas decorations and is like, yep. Well, it feels wrong to like throw those in the garbage, but we don't need it because it's not really a thing.
What I love about what Jay's doing is that, you know, essentially you're giving all your customers or your audience an opportunity to give to a cause that means something to them. So it's like, you're not giving to just one cause. You're saying, hey, here's some money. It's $20. Give it to a cause that resonates with you.
Yeah, it's interesting because, on one hand, big brands need to tell the market that they stand for something, that something's important to them. And usually that has to align with their brand. So, you know, Coca-Cola has to say water is important to us. Okay, great. And they can also say, hey, customer, we care about what you care about. It's not just about us. It's about you too. So what do you care about? We want to support that thing. So it's not either or, it's both of these things. A brand could say, hey, we stand for these things, so we're going to cut, you know, a $50,000 check to that thing. And we care about what you care about, so we're going to give the other 50 grand to you, 20 bucks at a time. So yeah, it's a beautiful way to say we care about what our customers care about genuinely, not greenwashing it or purpose washing it, but actually showing that they care.
It's such a smart and innovative idea. I wonder, Jay, what have been your biggest challenges in actually trying to pick up on this idea? Because, you know, wouldn't it be great if every innovative idea, everyone just immediately saw the brilliance in and was like, yeah, no, here, this is what we're doing from now on. And we know that that generally isn't the case, but are there things that you've had to try to work around or overcome in terms of explaining or convincing or selling this idea? Or maybe everybody gets it, but it's just, you know, they're part of this infrastructure or this system that doesn't allow for a lot of flexibility or free thinking. I'm just curious, what have been your biggest challenges in continuing to move this idea forward?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Most entrepreneurs are too early, because most entrepreneurs have this really cool idea. They see trends happening in the world and they try to capitalize on those trends. So most entrepreneurs are too early, and then often they fail because they get a set amount of money investment and then run out of money before the culture catches up to them. So I'd say that we were early. We saw purpose as a central part of our culture and ethos coming. You know, because I was in that space quite a bit, I thought it was already there. I thought purpose was already woven in. It was so obvious to me that this wave, this big wave is coming, and that companies will have to get on board with purpose. It was a no-brainer. But we were early. The culture wasn't quite there yet. We could see it coming, but the culture didn't have a broad enough awareness that this is now necessary for us, because it's not enough as a company to provide something that's a nice to have. You usually have to provide something that's necessary, that there's pain involved in people not doing that thing. And today, now, like even just before COVID, purpose was proving that it's a central part of our ethos, right? S&P 500, the companies that were purpose-centered on the S&P 500 over the last 5 years are outperforming their competition by 10x at this point. So companies that put purpose in the center are doing way better financially than companies that are not. It's there. When my friends that are in finance or in corporate are starting to talk to me about, hey, this purpose thing is a really big deal. Did you know this, Jay? And I'm like, it's here. It's finally here. Now my accountant friends are talking about it. It's finally arrived. But now layer COVID on that. Yes, we're seeing COVID accelerate all these other trends, right? Like working from home and all these kinds of things. Technology, Zoom meetings. It's also accelerating purpose. So our company is having a bit of a moment right now where companies out there realize they have to do something in the communities in which they operate to give themselves the social license to exist, right? They lose credibility if they're not participating and doing something good in their community at this point. So we get to help them do that.
I watched a TED Talk of you today, and it was interesting in two regards. One was, hey, Jay was on a TED Talk.
That's embarrassing.
Like, wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn as I know someone who did a TED Talk. Yeah. So this is all about me. And then the second part was, and I'd heard it from you from a couple of stories, ironically at National, before you.
Was that when you were trying to sneak scotch into the National?
Bottles, two bottles.
It's like you told me the story, and I've always been blown away by it. You had a complete life changing moment, and you were in a successful, was an IT back in the day. So do you mind just, I know you've probably gone through this a million times, but what that transition to me still blows me away.
Yeah, it was a crazy time of life indeed. I was corporate IT project managing, and it was in the good days, like making big dollars. This was pre-crash. What was that? In
2008 or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. So I was making buku dollars. Buku. I was making lots of fuck money. and, you know, things were good. I was having a good time, making way more money than a 30-year-old should make. Was traveling the world quite a bit, and I found myself sort of drawn to more developing nations. And I can remember, this is interesting, I haven't talked about this for a very long time. I can remember being in Nepal, and I went, arranged to go on this hike in the Himalayas, and I think it was about a 5-day hike, and I was getting ready to go on this hike. So we were in the town getting ready. Everything's pretty chill. And we were there, you know, setting up, getting supplies for 2 or 3 days. And I saw this kid, you know, kids are always so happy and playful. And I saw this kid, and he was having fun, and he was being the leader of the group and, you know, bossing his little friends around and playing and having fun. And I'd see him for a couple of days in a row, a couple of times a day. And I noticed that he was wearing the same shirt every day. And my thought at that point with my Western brain was, oh, cool, man. He's got his favorite shirt. That must be his favorite shirt. He's wearing it every damn day. I remember I had a favorite shirt. Oh, that was so cool. My favorite shirt was, you know, Dukes of Hazzard or something ridiculous.
oh, God.
Hey, don't judge. and then it, in an instant, it just dawned on me. Like I woke up like, oh my God, that's not his favorite shirt. That's this kid's only shirt, like only shirt. It's like tunnel vision in that moment. And I just focused on this kid, and I noticed even more and more of the details, like, oh, that t-shirt is like paper thin. Like I can see right through that shirt. Like it's about to blow off this kid. Oh my gosh. Like that's his only shirt. He's probably been wearing it for years. Oh my gosh. And like all of a sudden my whole world changed in that moment. And I realized that this world that we're living in is profoundly broken, and I'm part of the problem. Like, and I'm not doing a damn thing about it. And then I spent the next 4 days hiking in the Himalayas with this massive revelation while the world is changing for me, deciding that I wanted to play some role in making it better in some way. And that's, you know, that was my leaping off point to start a charity called You End Poverty, which was a new sort of way to do charity at that point, sort of giving small amounts on the internet to specific projects and then watching the world change online. And nowadays that sounds pretty expected and normal, but at that point it was not normal. It was like nobody was doing that. And then flash forward from there 10 years, Goodpin grew out of that idea, which was, okay, this is great, but I want to tap into another bucket of money and help refocus those marketing dollars to humans to choose where it goes.
So what's next for you, Jay? Do you have anything that you're pushing, like from a different idea, or you're just going to be trying to drive forward Goodpin and every work when we can actually start opening things back up again? How can people who are interested in these things reach out to you?
I'm pushing really, really hard on Goodpin these days. Like I said, we're having a bit of a moment right now, mm-hmm. and it's particularly relevant offering that can help companies engage their customers, actually solves a real problem for them right now. So I'm spending a lot of time on that. I'm also spending a lot of time on EveryWork, because as we vector towards the world reopening, as we've been discussing, there's going to be a real need for that mm-hmm. service, we believe. And a crazy sort of opportunity has come into my world, probably more as an advisor, but a platform that helps others, helps vendors and companies promote a local bucks, sort of local reward dollars system, sort of platformized. So we're sort of exploring that. There's a company that's doing that and they want me to help advise them. And again, that ties back into my desire to help communities, help local, and help everything sort of get better. So yeah, plate is very full these days indeed. And the best way to get a hold of me probably is via email at jay@good.pn or jay@everywork, everywork.com.
Nice. Yeah. I'll put that in the podcast notes. Woo. All right. Well, yeah, Jay, thanks so much. We're about out of time here. This is the first time I've ever had to say that, actually. We're about out of time here.
But, that sounds good.
Yeah, I was super excited to have you on because, you know, the whole cause marketing play and everything, I think it's just super relevant right now. And I think it also makes you, in your words, a good human. And, you know, people like Scott, Peter, and I, we appreciate good humans in this city or in this world. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you all for having me. Good people travel in packs. That's why I get to travel with all you guys.
Well, it was a pleasure, Jay. Thanks so much for taking the time to do this. And it was great having you on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
See you guys.